our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 391, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. And what follows, Psalter 391, the first three stanzas. A portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Genesis 3. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis 3. And now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and the desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou wast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Accursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, until thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword, which turned every way, to keep the way of the tree of life. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. DePater, who remains in the hospital, Miss Elsbeth van Oort, who was privileged to return to her home, and Mr. and Mrs. Jonathan Famanen, who were blessed with the birth of a baby girl. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Eternal and unchangeable God of the heavens and of the earth, then thou wast granted unto us and our children another Lord's Day. Then the prophet of old has exclaimed that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Then thy faithfulness has been manifested also in this past week for an unfaithful and for a sinful people, O Lord. And may it please thee to grant a little impression of those matters in the hearts of young and old, that we may become small, that we truly may become humble under all thy mercies and under all thy goodness. Then thou yet maketh a difference where there is no difference. Then the psalmist of old has declared, the Lord has spoken once, and ah, Lord, then for us and our children, then thou wast not only spoken once, not only twice, but thou wast spoken the third time. A word has pleased thee in the midst of the church community, in the midst of the family circles, that by renewal, a little child was ushered into that never-ending eternity so suddenly and so unexpectedly. Then we humbly beg of thee, wilt thou uphold father and mother, a father who was underwent surgery, thou was spared his life. Wilt thou uphold the children, ah, Lord? May it please thee to place underneath thy everlasting arms, grant them a place at thy footstool, where they may be given to cry unto thee. Wilt thou uphold them in the days to come? Wilt thou spare from rising up against thee? A grand a bowing before thee, and all, Lord. And may this solemn calling, may it be sanctified in the midst of the family circles. But then surely, then thou wast something to say unto us and our children. And may fathers and mothers, and may they be given to pause oftentimes, when they may still be surrounded with their children, and may they be humbled under thy goodness, and may it be thy goodness that leadeth to that true repentance, ah, that godly sorrow, wrought by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, then thou art speaking unto our children, that also when we are young, that we can be taken out of this life, ushered into eternity, to appear before our Creator, and then shall it be well, then we need a new heart. Ah, Lord, thou knowest that if thou doth not come with thy Holy Spirit, that under all the callings, the serious callings, that we only harden our heart. And to that end, we humbly beg of thee, O Lord, wilt thou do a great work amongst us? Otherwise also all the solemn callings, they shall have to rise up against us in the day of judgment. Then also in this past week, oh, we have heard it out of thy holy word, that on account of our defallen Adam, that the earth shall bring thorns and thistles, a word has pleased thee to also send hail. Remember those family circles. Wilt thou uphold and strengthen them? And Lord, when thou wast granted blessings, when thou wast granted health, when thou wast granted prosperity, that we may not be like Asherim, like the children of Israel and old, and that we kick backwards, and that we only become more world-conformed. Lord, we humbly beg thee, that thou may bless thy word in this morning hour, that sinners may be converted by thee unto thee. O wilt thou spare that we build not upon sandy foundations, and are remembered thy Zion. Thou knowest what they stand in need of, and thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou knowest their desires, O Lord, may it be lively, and may it please thee. Ah, thou hast promised for those hungry and thirsty ones, that there shall be food in thy house. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches, the persecuted church, mission work also, our mission field, and the Jewish people. And may the kingdom of Satan be broken down in this very day. And may thy kingdom be extended, because it is written in thy word, in the many followers of the king, therein lies the king's glory. Ah, oh, may it please thee in this very day, that many jewels may be added to the meritorial crown of King Jesus. Lord, then it has pleased thee to bless a young father and mother for the first time in their married life with the birth of a little daughter. Ah, oh, wilt thou humble their hearts, grant them a low place at thy footstool, may the tears flow freely. And may it be a little daughter, born in a serious and solemn time. But thou hast declared in thy word that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. Ah, may she be included in that number. And may it be a little child of many prayers, a little child for thy glory. Oh, wilt thou remember all the unborn with the mother's watch over them, and remember the barren. Oh, Lord, remember the many outward needs, an old mother still in the hospital. Thou wast given some improvement in the past days. There are still many concerns we commend her unto thee for body and for soul. Remember her together with her husband, a young mother who was privileged to return to her dwelling. But, Lord, thou knowest her way is through deep waters, many concerns. Wilt thou uphold, wilt thou strengthen, grant a special place together with her husband and children at thy throne of grace. and may all the callings, and may they be sanctified. I remember all under the doctor's care. Remember all the crosses, all the burdens. Remember the handicapped, the weak, amend unto thee all the mourning ones, the widowers, the widows, those that have brought children to the cemetery. Oh, then under the circumstances, then many wounds are reopened. It is all known unto thee. Remember the elderly ones in the evening of their life. O wilt thou remember them when the infirmities increase? Above all, may it please thee to save their never-dying souls. O Lord, we commend unto thee a young couple who have begun life's journey together in the past week as husband and wife. The first Lord's Day together, wilt thou grant thy special blessing, make it an unforgettable Lord's Day. Convert them as thou hast converted all thy people. Another young couple hope to be united in holy matrimony. And this week, wilt thou help them with all the preparations. Wilt thou be the pillar of fire and be the pillar of cloud, and may it be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. May thy presence be experienced. Lord, may it please thee to grant thy gracious help in this morning hour. Open thy word. Grant fresh oil from above. May we be given to speak as a dying man to a dying people. And remember all those that could not come up in this morning. May it be possible that they may listen along. Grant a Sabbath day blessing. But, Lord, remember all those that have come up. Graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance, the buyers, the sellers, the wandering, the worldly thoughts, to bind the Satan. To remember the office bears in Nobleford, to help the brother elder, make it an easy task for him, and may he taste of what he may read, and grant thy blessing. Prosper further the building of the new sanctuary. May it be carried upon the wings of prayer. Wilt thou keep from harm and danger. Lord, we have many needs, many cares, many desires, and many sins to confess. What we forget, forget thou what not. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 14, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 7. O Lord, our Lord, in all the earth, how excellent thy name! Thy glory thou hast spread afar, and all the starry frame, and what follows. Psalter 14, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 7. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 3, the question and answer 6, 7, and 8. Question 6, did God then create man so wicked and perverse? Answer, by no means. But God created man good and after his own image in true righteousness and holiness, that he might rightly know God his creator, heartily love him, and live with him in eternal happiness, to glorify and praise him. Question 7. Whence then proceeds this depravity of human nature? Answer. From the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. Hence our nature is become so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. Question 8. Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Answer. Indeed we are, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. Lord's Day number 3 speaks of the origin of the misery of man, with 3 thoughts in the first place, the perfect created man. In the second place, the deeply fallen man. And in the third place, the holy, incapable man. The origin of the misery of man. The perfect created man, which we find in number 6. The deeply fallen man in number 7. And the holy, incapable man in number 8. Beloved congregation, we have heard in the past Lord's Day what is necessary that we may receive that only comfort in life and death for our body and for our soul. And then in the past week, then by renewal we were reminded that for each and every one, the necessity of that comfort, where there is but a step between us and death, and where in a short time that it has pleased the Lord by the cold hand of death to take a little child out of the church community, for her it has become eternity. Boys and girls, little children, if that had now been you, have you thought about it this week? If you had now been that little child that had been taken away, where would your soul then be? Do you have a new heart? May it please the Lord to use the solemn calling. And fathers and mothers, when we all may be spared, may there be times that we may be given to pause and consider all the goodness of the Lord. When we travel on a 2-lane highway, then it is literally true that there is only a little space, a step between us and death, and therefore the need for that only comfort. Then you can remember, children, young people, that in the first place, that it is necessary by the work of the Holy Spirit to receive an experiential knowledge of our sins and of our misery, because if it is only in our head, then we shall remain the same. Then you can remember, children, that we have compared the holy law of God to a mirror, and that mirror does not only reflect who we are, but the law of God also reflects the holiness, the wisdom, and the goodness of the Lord. But now when the Lord works by His Spirit, when He begins that good work, has that taken place in our life? That is the most important. There must be a beginning. It is true, the child of God must be led further, because with the knowledge of our misery, then we are still miserable. We need to be washed in that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now when the Lord works, then we may compare that law not only to a mirror, but to an X-ray machine. You know what that is, right, boys and girls? When a doctor takes an X-ray or a CAT scan, then the doctor can see what is inside our body. And that is now the work of the Spirit by the law. And not only our deeds, our words, but our thoughts and our hearts. And then we have heard in the past week the description of man. Canst thou keep all these things perfectly? In no wise. For I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. That is our existence. It is a blessing, as we have told you, when by the common goodness of the Lord, that He grants much love in the midst of the family circles, let us not minimize the same, because Christ has said in Matthew 12, verse 24, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, and to that end the necessity that the Word of God may have a central place in our family circles. And nevertheless, our existence, that is to hate God and our neighbor. And now on Lord's Day number 3, then the question is, when does that awful condition that man is such a wicked and such a perverse creature, declared in the Bible, declared in this world, when the Lord gives a person over, when He lives it out? And now the question is, whence cometh that depravity, where man is even sunken lower than the beast of the field? We live in a time when the unborn are daily murdered. Whence cometh that depravity? Did God then create man so wicked and perverse? Then we must not understand that the instructors are asking that question in a wrong spirit. But in this Lord's Day, they are asking those questions that they have opportunity to show unto the church in the way of instruction, whence that depravity cometh. And surely the instructor, because when we read those two young men, what they have written, the experience of the church of God, then it is so clear that they were deeply experienced in those things.
and that they have learned much of the depravity of their heart. And what a questions we would say, what a perverse, oh, what a wicked questions that we send up unto the Lord. Oh, our heart, oh, is a different congregation. We're in this morning hour when we are called upon to speak about our deep fall. Oh, what a questions there can be. Why has the Lord now decreed it and willed it that Adam and Eve would fall? Why has the Lord not prevented it? And then concerning that sin of Adam, is it now proper because of that one sin that the whole human race has been plunged into the greatest misery? Or do you never have trouble with those questions, congregation? Do you never have trouble with those questions concerning the election of God? We could multiply it out. Do you know what now is necessary? What I read in Romans 9. Romans 3 verse 19. That everyone becomes guilty before the Lord and that our mouth is stopped. And all our mouth shall be stopped. For God's people, that happens here in the time. And when we shall have to die unconverted, then we shall not have an answer upon a thousand questions. Oh, in Romans 9, the verses 20 and 21, then the apostle, when he has spoken of the mercies of the Lord, that he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy, and he hardeneth whom he hardeneth. Nay, but who art thou, O man, that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why makest thou thus? Did God then create man so wicked and perverse? What a wickedness! One feeble man, worms of the dust, specks of the dust, send such questions unto the Lord. What an awful thing it would be, boys and girls, when you would be sick, and your mother, who so tenderly cares for you, and if you would say, Mother, have you now given me poison? How that would cut to the heart of mother. Oh, the wickedness and the perverseness of man, trying to shift the blame, not willing to bow under the Lord. Blessed that people whom are wrought by the Holy Spirit and who may be truly humbled in the dust with a confession that they are guilty, worthy to be cast away forever and ever. Did God then create man so wicked and perverse? By no means. But God created man good. After the first 5 days in Genesis 1, then we read that the Lord saw everything that he had made, and it was good. Cannot be different. A perfect God can bring forth nothing but what is perfect. But now on the sixth day, when the Lord has created mankind, oh, it was so different. The other things he has spoken into being, the Lord spake, and it was so. But with the creation of man, then I read in Genesis 1 to verses 26 and 26, let us make man after our likeness, after the image of God. And then he has formed Adam out of the dust, the clay of the earth. And now after the sixth day, that evening, then we read that the Lord saw everything that he had made in Genesis 1 verse 31, and it was very good. The Lord has created man in his image. That is not more an image of resemblance. The Lord Jesus Christ, we read in Hebrews 1 verse 3, He was the perfect image of God, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person. Thus the Son was the express image. But Adam and Eve were an image of resemblance, to try to make that plain. When we have a picture of someone, that is an image, but that does not tell everything, that only shows the outside. Thus an image of resemblance, nevertheless, created in the image of God. Oh, and Adam, he was the jewel of God's creation. The Lord has endued our first parents with special gifts, that they were enabled, that it was their desire to glorify their Maker. Oh, what a blessing it was for Adam and Eve. There was no sin, there was no sorrow, there was no cares, there was no death. But in Adam and Eve were given to walk in that perfect communion with the Lord. And now our instructors, young people, you know what that image consists of. You have learned that in catechism, that image consists of knowledge of righteousness and of holiness. And our instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism, they mention those three, in true righteousness and holiness, that he might know God, his Creator. Thus, in the first place, a knowledge of God. The law was imprinted upon the tables of his heart. Oh, a knowledge that he could glorify his Maker, his Benefactor, his Creator. Created in the image of righteousness, in that right relationship with his God, with his Maker, that his will was conformable to his God. Oh, and Adam loved what the Lord loved, and hated what the Lord hated, but also in holiness, in purity of thought, in purity of affections. Oh, everything in Adam and Eve that went out toward their Maker and their Benefactor. Oh, for an Adam and Eve, oh, that first Sabbath day of their marriage, what a blessed Sabbath day that must have been. And now the instructors, to further broaden it out, might rightly know God, his Creator, heartily love him. Oh, that love of Adam and Eve was perfect. There lie nothing in between. And not only to love him and live with him in eternal happiness, to glorify and praise him. Oh, what a blessed creation. Do we sometimes think of those things, congregation? Are we so busy during the week? Have we thought of the first two Lord's days, of that comfort and of that law, of that mirror? But now in this third Lord's day, oh, surely, when there is death, when there is trouble, when there is sorrow, when there are thistles, when there are thorns, then what a tears can be shed. And then the thoughts can go out to paradise, where for an Adam and Eve there was no sorrow, there were no cares, there were no tears, but they were given to walk with their God. But is that as far as it goes, congregation? Does it only go about the outward things? Or has the Lord also wrought by His Holy Spirit in our hearts that there has come that missing? Oh, that we have learned by the uncovering of the law what sinners we are, and that sin causes separation. Oh, that breach that is so wide that it can never be bridged over, And yet the Lord has a people that cannot miss the Lord. Oh, when the mirror is held before them each time by renewal, then what a repentance, what a reformation. But now to discover that I am a sinner still, only becoming a greater sinner, my debt higher, and that I cannot love the Lord as I ought. Our second thought, the deeply fallen man. Whence then proceeds this depravity of human nature? We live in a time that the world denies the first three chapters of Genesis. And congregation, when the first three chapters of Genesis are taken out of the Bible, then there shall be nothing left of religion. Oh, we live in a day of people that deny the deep fall of Adam. What do they tell us? It is declared in the schools that there is still something good in man. And if you now place a child in the right environment and you allow a little child to bud to do what they desire and like, then eventually, how often it has been told in many schools with graduation that it shall become a better world if you only give mankind the opportunity. Then they declared it is the environment, then it is imitation, that our children have the wrong example. But let us then ask them, what about Cain? He has never seen anyone murder his brother, and yet he has murdered his brother Abel. Oh, we live in a day that the world only thinks of the timely things, that they think not of eternity, and that they have not an eye for the glory of God. But how is it with us, congregation? It is so necessary that we prayerfully search the Word of God, that worldly influence does not penetrate into our families and into our hearts, and then to come to a free will religion, that with a little emotion, with a little feeling, with a scriptural knowledge that we speak of spiritual things, but where we have never become a poor sinner, where we have never learned that we have transgressed against such a good doing and against such a holy God, and that we never learn, and it is true, we have told you the past week the general way is that the Lord holds with his people, that he first uncovers to their actual sins. But we hope to hear at the end of this Lord's day that further uncovering is necessary. And now that fall, why is it now called such a deep fall? Because in Adam and Eve were plunged into the greatest misery from the greatest blessedness. Then in Adam and Eve, who were given to walk in that blessed and sweet communion with their God, then they have left their God and they have hid themselves. Oh, the sorrows that have come upon the world. Oh, what a deep fall, with the sin of Adam transgressing that covenant, that he has plunged the whole human mystery into the greatest misery. And now concerning that fall of Adam, we have read together out of Genesis 3. Then Satan, oh, there are many things that we cannot comprehend. Then Satan has been cast out of heaven. He has been cast on the earth. And I read in Jude 6 that he has kept in everlasting chains, awaiting that for the final day of judgment, all for the devil. No hope and no expectation. His lot has been forever sealed with all the fallen angels. Ah, what maketh us to differ, young and old, that it may still be declared even though we have fallen so deeply that through that fall, that the Lord has still made a way that the chiefest, the blackest of sinners may be saved. Oh, may that become a wonder for us, because the Lord has a people. Oh, that becomes the wonder, and the wonder only becomes greater. But now Satan, when he has walked upon the earth, then he has seen the happiness, the joy of our first parents, walking in sweet communion with the Lord. And then Satan in revenge. Ah, that is a devilish work, revenge. And then a Satan, when he has seen the jewel of creation living to the honor and glory of their God, then in deep revenge, then he thought to strike back upon that jewel because he could not reach the Lord in the heavens. And then what has Satan done, young people? Satan still works the same. Still works the same as he has done in Genesis 3. Have you heard that first verse? Then Satan has come to Eve. Why to Eve? Satan picks the opportunities carefully. He has waited till she was alone. She was the weaker vessel. The covenant has been made with Adam. Then Satan thought that he would have a better chance, if we may say it so, if Eve was alone. And then Satan has said, had God said, you may not eat of any of the trees. What a hard God you have. Satan still says the same, right, young people? He tells you, if you are converted, then you may not do anything. Then you shall have a dull, a boring life. Is that true? Satan is a liar. The Lord grants many nice and beautiful things upon this earth that we may use, that we may enjoy. Of course, we may not sin. Among our people, there is the thought that when we are unconverted, we may do much more than when the Lord converts us. But this morning, we have not read two laws. We have not first read a law for the unconverted, and then a law for God's people, one law. And then in Eve, she has listened and she has begun to speak. What should have an Eve done? She has received a head. She was not allowed to speak. She should have said to Satan, I shall call my husband, which I have received out of the Lord's hand. He is my spokesman, and he shall give an answer. But she started to speak to Satan. Shall we throw stones at Eve? I read of Hezekiah in Isaiah 36:37, when the Assyrians have come and that Rabshakeh was mocking, that Hezekiah has given the order, answer not one word. And of course, with Eve, as she was created in the image of God, but now we are fallen sons and daughters of Adam. And then with all the temptations, who can and who shall stand? What is so needful, congregation? When those temptations come, not only young people, also older ones, what is then necessary? That we come on our knees, and that we ask the Lord to keep us with a confession that we have no strength, and The trouble is our evil heart, that we have such evil desires. That is the greatest trouble. And now we shall not go through the history. We have read it together. That Eve has looked. We live in a visual world. May we be kept. May we be given to do what our hand finds to do. Otherwise, the consequences shall become more and more evident in our family circles. Eve has looked at that fruit. She has desired it. And she has taken it. And then she has become like unto Satan, because then she had a desire that she would not be alone in her sin. And then she has come to Adam, given him the fruit, and he has eaten. And Adam and his whole prosperity were plunged into the greatest misery. Then Adam has made the Lord a liar. Adam has transgressed the commandments. Adam has broken the covenant. Our deep fall in Adam, the next Lord's Day, we hope to hear more of that inheriting and that imputation. Hence, our nature is become so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. Job 14, verse 4, who can bring a clean out of an unclean? Many times fathers and mothers even tell me that they are given to see their own image and the image of their children, not only outwardly the way they look, but also with their actions and with their sins. David, in Psalm 51, verse 5, when Nathan has come unto him, thou art the man, then he was given to confess, I was conceived and born in sin. And the psalmist, in Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb, they go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Let us first sing Psalter 143, the first three stanzas. Of, O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me, and thy abounding love blot out all my iniquity and what follows. Psalter 143, the first three stanzas.
origin of the misery of man. The perfect created man, the deeply fallen man, and now thirdly, the holy and capable man. Thomas Boston, concerning the great misery of man, then he has spoken of 4 points. In the first place, the blindness of man. That by nature, that we have no impression of our deep misery. In the second place, strong delusions, that we set our hope upon things that can be worldly or religious, but it is too short to meet our Maker. In the third place, the hardness of heart, that our heart has become so hard, that under the most solemn callings and under the sweet proclamation of the gospel, that our heart remains untouched. Is that your picture, congregation? And in the third place, vile affections. We shall not broaden it out. Then we have to say a few words concerning that last answer. Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Indeed, we are, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. Why have the instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism mentioned that possibility in Lord's Day number 3, but they were silent about it in Lord's Day number 2, and also that last question and answer was a very solemn one? Canst thou keep all these things perfectly in no wise? For I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. Thus then the question is, why have the instructors at the end of Lord's Day number 2 and now given a little hope added that expression, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God? Are there souls that know the answer? Are there souls that know in an experiential way why the instructors, and then we see that they were led deeply and clearly by the Holy Spirit in the ways of the Lord. Why has it now been added in Lord's Day number 3, and it was omitted in Lord's Day number 2, under that solemn expression, for I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor? Are there souls that have experienced it? Then the reason is because in Lord's Day number 2, then the instructors, they were given to speak of actual sins. Then they were given to speak of the fruit of the tree. Indeed, very sad and very evil. But congregation, as long as a soul is only exercised with his actual sins, and then there shall be much pruning of that tree, then the Lord shall grant that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, because then we learn the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Then we experience that separation that is more bitter than death. Then we come in the workhouse, and then we work 7 days a week.
Because then we are given to believe that we are traveling to eternity, and that if we have to appear with all our sins before that holy and good God, it shall be so terrible. But as long as the soul is only exercised with his actual sins, then he still has a certain hope, although the longer the soul is on the way, the more that hope is cut off, can be in the way of falling and rising up, can be in the way of making promises and breaking those promises. But then there is still a certain hope that he may be given to repent. Oh, that desire to live according to all God's commandments and so be saved. But now in Lord's Day number 3, then it speaks of our original sins. Then it speaks of the root of that tree, that it is totally corrupt, and that it is impossible for such a corrupt tree to bring forth a good fruit. Then by the work of the Holy Spirit, then a soul is given to learn that he not only commits sin, but that he is nothing but a lump of sin, no fruit from this tree forevermore. And then all hope and expectation is cut off. And to that end, that such a soul shall not despair, was such an evil root, oh, then he is given to see what I read in Matthew 3, verse 10, that the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And that such a soul may not despair, ah, then the instructors, then they are given to declare a hope, except a man is regenerated by the Spirit of God. And that wonderful work that is also declared in Genesis 3, the steps of grace, so beautiful declared in the chapter that our parents have fallen, and what has now taken place in the life of Adam and Eve. They have hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They have covered themselves with fig leaves. We have not lost our religion. We have lost the fear of God. And then who was the first? The Lord, Adam. Where art thou? Has that now ever taken place, congregation? Have we ever heard that the voice of the Lord is powerful and full of majesty? Has it ever taken place? The Lord has spoken once, twice have I heard it. That power belongeth unto God. Has the Lord the King ever shot an arrow of love and conviction into our hearts? And then an Adam has come forward and an Eve. And then the Lord has questioned them. He has not questioned Satan, because there was no hope for Satan. But the Lord has examined and questioned Adam and Eve concerning their sins. And then their mouth was stopped. Nothing to say. But now those further leadings in the 15th verse, the mother promise of the coming Messiah, that he was gained the victory. Then the Lord has put enmity. There were three standing before the Lord. Satan, Adam, and Eve, they have become the friend, best of friends. But now the Lord says, I will put enmity between Adam and Eve and Satan. The mother promise of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time. Oh, the goodness, the mercy, the tender dealings with Adam and Eve. gave that mother promise. Before the Lord has spoken of the consequences of sin, which we all experience, also the Church of God. But now the further leadings. Then an Adam was given to embrace that promise by true saving faith, by the work of the Holy Spirit, because he called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Church of God, how far can you come with an Adam and Eve? But with that promise, they have still stood there with those scanty fig leaves, which would not cover before the righteousness of God, but then also the application where the Lord has slain animals and clothed Adam and Eve with long coats, points to the garments of righteousness which Christ has merited for his people. Except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. When must that take place? Between the cradle and the grave. And death can come so unexpectedly. It can come so quickly when we read, except we are regenerated. That is a big word, boys and girls. That actually means, to make it simple, to receive a new heart. A heart that loves the Lord, that hates sin, and that the need is born, that we may be cleansed and washed from all our sins. Has that now taken place in our life? Little children, we have said, if it was now announced in this morning hour that it had been you that had been taken out of this life, how would it then be? Do you ask for a new heart every day, young people? Also, in the years gone by, many a youth has been ushered into eternity. Except we are regenerated by the Word of, by the Spirit of God, older ones. If it is necessary for the youth, more necessary for you. Each day we are coming closer to the end, to that final meeting with our Maker, and what shall it be? We have to die in our sins to appear before the Lord, and then to be cast into that bottomless pit. But now for the people of God, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. And when that takes place, congregation, then we have a desire that all people would be converted, from the youngest to the oldest, because the church learns if it is possible for them, it is possible for each. We must close. Let us repeat that text. May you be given to think about the same, the words of John the Baptist in Matthew 3, verse 10. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we humbly ask thee by renewal for a blessing upon thy holy word. May it please thee to be the after preacher. May the family circles be given to speak about what they have heard to their children. May the knees be bowed. And may the question be laid before thee, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. Thou was said unto Nicodemus, except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. O God of all grace, wilt thou arise, wilt thou pour out thy Holy Spirit upon young and old? Wilt thou watch over us in the furtherance of the Sabbath day? Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? We commend unto thee the elder that is called upon to read a sermon in this evening hour. May he experience thy help and thy special presence, and may thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 446, the stanzas 2 and 4. If thou shouldest mark transgression, O Lord, who then could stand? For evil and oppression are found on every hand, and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The second wedding announcement of Melis Hendrik Oskam and Peterina Hengsmangel. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, August 23rd at 10 o'clock a.m. with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory, and the banner of truth are at the exit. Psalter 446, the stanzas 2 and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.